Police in Louisiana are going to extraordinary lengths to find a person they believe has killed at least four women. But after more than 6 months of intensive investigation, thousands of calls to a tip line, and DNA samples from hundreds of men, police have yet to identify a suspect. But they are hearing complaints that the search for the serial killer is infringing on the rights of some innocent people. From Baton Rouge, NPR's Greg Allam reports.
Just west of Baton Rouge on Interstate 10, there's a billboard that thousands of people see each day. It shows a sketch of what the police believe the serial killer looks like, along with a picture of a white pickup truck and a phone number for a police task force. The killer has probably seen this billboard. I-10 runs from Baton Rouge west to Lafayette, just 60 miles away. And that's where he claimed his latest victim, 23-year-old Trenisha Denae Colombe. The earlier victims, Gina Green, Murray Pace, and Pam Kinnamore, were all white and lived in Baton Rouge. Colombe was black and lived in this small city of about 100,000 people. Suddenly, Lafayette was gripped by the same fear that has electrified Baton Rouge. Women began buying guns and flocking to personal defense classes.
You also have chemical agents, mace, pepper spray, all the different things like that. The thing about a chemical agent is you need to know how these things work. It's very important.
At the Lafayette Parish Sheriff's Training Center this evening, about 100 women are listening closely as Lieutenant Craig Stansbury demonstrates tactics and weapons and talks about the mindset of a criminal predator. Since the murder here, Stansbury has been teaching several classes each week. At this class, Dominique Landry arrived early to get a seat in the front row.
I'm getting kind of scared, and I'm watching my surroundings. I'm not going out at night by myself at all. I go with somebody, and I go in the daytime, just really watching who's around me.
It was here, not far off the Whiskey Bay exit on Interstate 10 last July, that police found the body of the killer's third known victim. Pam Kinnamore was 44, a decorator and antique store owner when she was abducted and killed. Lynn Marino is Kinnamore's mom.
I told everybody this guy was going to kill again.
Marino says she wasn't surprised that the killer struck outside of Baton Rouge or that his latest victim was black. She says, like her daughter, Colombe was an attractive, successful woman. She fit the profile. While Marino has only praise for the police, after more than 6 months of living with a serial killer on the loose, she's concerned that the public is losing interest.
It's almost like people in Baton Rouge are in denial. Like they don't want to admit that this horrible thing happened and it might happen again.
Since the task force was formed over the summer, authorities have released to the public a trove of information, including a 9-page FBI behavioral and psychological profile of the killer. It's all part of an effort to solicit tips and information, which police believe is what will lead them to an arrest. But so far, none of the more than 5,000 tips, or an estimated 700 DNA samples, has resulted in a suspect. And not all of those being asked for DNA are giving it willingly. After receiving two calls about Shannon Kohler, police asked him if he'd take a few minutes to provide a swab from inside his cheek, a DNA sample so they could eliminate him as a potential suspect. Kohler has a 20-year-old burglary conviction. Sitting in a local coffee shop, he says at first he agreed, but then he changed his mind.
First off, it just didn't feel right, and then I started thinking about it. And the more I thought about it, the more outrageous it seemed to be that, people can just make phone calls, and all of a sudden you have to give up DNA.
Kohler says police told him if he didn't submit his DNA willingly, they'd get a warrant, and his name in connection to the serial murder investigation could be made public. And that's exactly what happened. 4 days after being served with a warrant and providing police a DNA swab, a local TV crew was at his front door asking about his role in the investigation. Kohler feels his rights were violated.
What happened to probable cause? You know, what happened to anything that can link you to what's going on, you know, other than pure hearsay?
Police say only a small number of men have refused to provide DNA samples, and that when they seek warrants, they usually don't place them in the public file. Task Force official Corporal Marianne Gadawa says the only reason Kohler's warrant was made public was because he requested a copy for his lawyer. To give it to him, she says, it had to be placed in the public file.
We have made it clear from the very beginning that everyone's privacy is respected. We have no reason or need to expose the individuals who have been swabbed. If they choose to do that publicly, that is their choice.
Others besides Shannon Kohler feel they've been unfairly caught up in the search for the serial killer and are reluctant to provide information that will be used not just in this investigation, but will also be archived in a statewide database. In another case, the task force recently sought a warrant for a man a tip said had been a suspect in two earlier crimes, a rape and a murder. While police couldn't confirm either allegation, they determined he had been convicted for possession of marijuana. A judge at first issued a warrant, but then recalled it, ruling that the police had not shown probable cause. It's those incidents and others like it that led Joe Cook to raise concerns about what he calls the DNA dragnet. Cook, with the Louisiana ACLU, says it's clear that anonymous tips don't constitute probable cause. And if police publicize the names of those who don't cooperate, even DNA given willingly may be challenged in court.
And if the police end up getting a DNA sample under these circumstances, they might jeopardize the prosecution and that the evidence might be suppressed by a judge.
Cook points to a case in 1994 in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where police looking for a serial rapist took DNA samples from 160 black men. A judge later ruled that the DNA had been taken improperly and ordered it returned or destroyed. Shannon Kohler says he's planning a similar lawsuit seeking the return of his DNA and its removal from the statewide database. Lynn Marino has heard the legal arguments, but believes that there's something missing. The importance of catching the man who murdered her daughter before he strikes again.
I can't understand in my heart how anybody could possibly object to being swabbed. It's the quickest way to get this killer. It's the most absolutely up-to-date, sophisticated way to get him. I realize that it is their constitutional right, so legally that is their right. But what is their responsibility morally?
A haunting undercurrent in the search for the serial killer is a suspicion that Gina Green, Murray Pace, Pam Kinnamore, and Danae Colombe weren't his only victims. Police will only say that they're looking at other cases. An investigation by the Baton Rouge paper The Advocate found that the murders of at least 63 women committed over the past decade remain unsolved. Greg Allen, NPR News, Baton Rouge.